Welcome to Ara City Radio on this Tuesday morning. Last week, we launched a new interview series on language inequality, and that's what we're going to continue with today. Radio Ara is involved in an international research project on language inequality. Together with partner universities, researchers, and activists from Spain, Denmark, and Latin American countries, we are exploring which forms language inequality takes in these different countries. And we're developing activities to reduce this problem. If you are a regular listener of Radio Ara, you probably know that we have different languages on our program, in total 17 languages. And one aim of this initiative is to grant access to local information here in Luxembourg to people who don't speak the Luxembourgish languages. Today on the interview in this series, my guest is Esther Saiz de Lombardo Garcia. She is a researcher at the English Department of the Universidad Autónoma in Madrid. And we're going to talk about her work as a researcher in translation and interpretation.
Hello, Esther.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, and you?
Very well, thank you.
What is it you do exactly?
I'm a lecturer and a researcher, and basically what I teach is conference interpreting, simultaneous and consecutive. And my field of research, well, I have different fields of research, but I'm mainly interested in power imbalance and multilingualism. So everything that happens in multilingual settings and translates into power imbalance.
Translation and interpretation, to me, it sounds somehow very dry. It's just you have a word and then you translate it into another language. But you talk about power and different dynamics. How does that go together?
For example, it is very different, the settings. If we were to think at the United Nations or the European Union, we have very important people, or allegedly very important people, talking about economy or agriculture, many different topics, and then you've got interpreters in their booths. That's, as you've just said, is really dry. But it is not the same, for example, when you're interpreting in a psychiatrist consult with perhaps a family. This is a real case. I did not work on this case, but I did help in the training and a round table. So a teenage kid was dying of cancer. He was terminal. And the family obviously they were really depressed, and they did not have a support system because they had recently arrived from Senegal. So basically, they required an interpreter who was there in every single session, not only preparing the teenager to basically face his faith, but to help out the family and try to, somehow help them go through the ordeal. So basically there, when you're interpreting in that context, it changes entirely.
Yeah, I can imagine in this kind of examples or cases, you have much more responsibility as well, right?
I do believe you do, because there is a power imbalance already that is translated through the vulnerability of one of the sides. So you are more invested than when you actually are at a I usually call them regular meetings.
But isn't it still the case that normally you as an interpreter, you translate what you're told to translate? Or how can you change the situation, or how can you help this family in this case?
Well, of course, you need to trespass the semantics, the meaning, yes, definitely. But in this particular case, for example, the family many times was not even able to find the words. And you still got to interpret that, right? Because that's meaning, but they are not using words. When you're at the European Union, the United Nations, or a business meeting, everyone is going to use words. But you see, in these other cases, you don't always use words. And in my experience, when you're really vulnerable, you use ways of communicating that really link you to your culture of origin. meaning that everything becomes way more difficult for the interpreter. Because, for instance, I'm fluent in French, but I was not born in Senegal. I lack the knowledge of certain body cues and body language that obviously trespasses meaning and that they are most certainly going to use in such situations. And, you know, this is a very extreme situation, but I'm thinking as well, immigrants who just arrived to the host country and perhaps they want to claim the status of refugees, or mums who don't speak the language and they are about to give birth, many, many situations that might be difficult, right? And where speaking the language is not enough, it's definitely not enough.
Which project are you working on in your professional, personal, and your research project?
Well, right now, I'm working in two different projects. So one of them is a book on a linguistic landscape. So all the language and the semantics that you can see in the environment, but from a critical perspective. So we're basically talking about gender, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and also teaching focused on multilingualism and multiculturality.
What does linguistics have to do in these conflicts?
Well, it has to do a lot, because in this very recent conflict, we've seen how the state of Israel has been resignified. So linguistically and cognitively, that has a lot of power. And even though, of course, we are very, very far from, you know, justice is not going to be served anytime soon, but the fact that the public opinion sees things differently, and also the demonstrations, and the fact also, for example, I'm going to give you a clear-cut example. The use of the word Zionism, that was something that was not used, I don't know, 3-4 years back. Some people would use it, of course, those who really knew about the conflict, but now it's a word that everyone understands as Jewish supremacy. Whereas in the past, people would just refer to the Jews. But that's not correct, is it? So the way that the public is getting more educated on the problem, really, I think, will eventually translate in a difference, no?
What's the second project that you talked about?
The second project I'm really excited about. It's not that I'm not excited about the previous one, but this one is really, really exciting. I'm starting to work with other colleagues from different Latin American institutions on community interpreting. So basically here the power imbalance is very clear. I don't know if I could perhaps call it research and / activism. We're trying to influence public institutions in countries such as Argentina in certain areas where there's a high percentage of speakers of other languages and not Castilian as first language. And the problem here is that many times when they approach public institutions for whatever reason, whether it is to inscribe their children because they have a legal related problem at the authorities, even though according to the law they are entitled to use their first language, they many times find barriers. And obviously that translates into a huge power imbalance. So basically we're trying to work with agents who already are working in policies, in developing policies, so that this doesn't happen as much. And also, this is another power imbalance, but we're using it for a good cause, because it's an European project called Redesling. Thanks to this project, I've gotten in touch with all these researchers. We are going to use, so to speak, the European stamp to perhaps make sure that these voices are heard louder, because we all know that, you know, just saying that these this initiative somehow, which is not true, because obviously there is a lot of agency and they are the ones who develop their own initiatives. But saying that the European Union supports these initiatives might make somehow a difference when we're talking about public institutions.
When you say that there are agents alleviating these barriers or reducing these barriers, who are these agents and what do they do exactly?
Well, the people, they're incredible fighters. They are the ones who have trained themselves into, for example, conference interpreting, or they've gone to the universities and say, hey, let's create a program because we need training. You have the knowledge on how to do this, but we need the training. And they are actively fighting because, mind you, some of these leaders are female, right? I'm particularly interested in how we as women, we can fight the system, no? So many of them, when they've faced, you know, public institutions led by men, one of the first things these men would try to stop these female leaders from pursuing what they believed was right was sexual assault. So yeah, I'm just sort of backing them up, the ladies, obviously.
So this project is focused on the judicial system only?
Not only the judicial system, but it's true that the judges are the ones, after an interpreting consult has taken place, they are the ones who sort of sign up all the paperwork so the interpreters get paid. And many times they don't do that. And also, they won't allow the interpreter to speak while they're speaking. And sometimes on purpose, they'll just speak for a really long time so that the interpreter gets, not confused, but, you know, if someone's talking for 15 minutes and you're not allowed, because they are not allowed, to bring in a pad and a pen to just write down the notes, you will obviously forget information. So they just make sure that the environment is not the best one for the interpreters to be able to do their duty.
Who are the people who are disadvantaged in these cases? Okay, women, yes, women are everywhere and always unfortunately disadvantaged. When you think about language inequality, here in Spain, you cited the case of Senegalese family, who are people who come from outside or who immigrate to Spain and who don't have the language skills. How is that in Latin American countries? Which groups are particularly disadvantaged there?
All the groups who are not bilingual in their first language and Castilian, and everyone who does not speak Castilian. And as a Spaniard, I feel some sort of responsibility. I know it was not me. I know it was centuries ago. But it is true that a language was imposed and somehow all the other languages were erased. And still nowadays, I think many people in my country, in Spain, are unaware of how many languages are spoken in each of these territories.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you very much.
That was Esther Saiz de Lombardo García on our microphone. We talked about her focus as a researcher in translation and interpretation at the Universidad Autónoma in Madrid. This interview is part of a new series that we launched last week on language inequality. Radio ARA is involved in a research project on language inequality. And if you want to learn more about it, we will publish articles, we will publish interviews on this project in the upcoming months. So stay tuned at our website, aracityradio.com.